Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowlin Podcast, presented by Bowlin Media. I am Ross Bowlin, and today's episode is a special edition of sorts. First of all, happy Valentine's Day to everyone in the RBP gang. I love and appreciate all of you. My wife got me one of these obnoxiously large water cups for Valentine's Day, so I can be one of the cool girls like all these women with Stanley Cups. But this ain't no Stanley Cup. Don't get it twisted. This here is an Owala. I don't know what that means, but there's no lead in my H2O. That much I do know. Anyway, today's episode is special, not just because it is Valentine's Day, also the second anniversary of me proposing to my wife, but today is the first show I will have recorded since my grandma, Grandma Bowlin, passed away peacefully yesterday morning. Many of you are already aware that my grandma was my role model, and she will continue to be my role model. She was an incredibly special person, a wonderful mother to my dad and his two brothers, a wonderful grandmother to my six cousins on her side of the family, plus my brother and I. My grandma impacted my life perhaps more than anyone. Obviously, if she didn't give birth to my dad, I wouldn't be here. But beyond that, she taught me what it really means to be a leader, that everyone is deserving of kindness, and she showed me it is possible to be a light in this world capable of brightening someone's day no matter what they have going on. She always made me feel loved, always made me feel special. She did the same for her three sons and their wives, for all my cousins and my brother. Everyone deserves someone who makes them feel loved and special, but not all of us are lucky enough to have someone like my grandma, and for that reason, today is not so much a sad day as a celebratory one because of how lucky I was to have her, how lucky my whole family is, and because today I want to share a little of her with all of you. My grandma never judged me. Not when I had to drop out of college for a year, not when I went to jail repeatedly, not when I got divorced. She never judged me. She loved me unconditionally, regardless of what I did or how I acted, regardless of if I felt deserving of it or not. She called me every year on my birthday without fail. And if I answered, she sang me happy birthday. And when my grandpa was still alive, sometimes she'd make him sing with her, which was very, very funny if you knew my grandpa. He was pretty stoic. Now, the last few years, I kept missing her calls on my birthday, so she'd leave me voicemails. And I will have those voicemails on my phone until the day I go to meet her. I'm definitely mourning, grieving, because I will miss her every day for the rest of my time here. Just knowing she was out there made the world a brighter and kinder place. And while I know she is at peace now, selfishly, I wanted more time with her. I wanted her to meet my son, her great-grandson. But I know she saw lots of videos and photos of him, which my dad showed her, so I'm thankful for that. My grandma was kind to everyone, no matter what. I never heard her speak ill of anyone, never heard anyone speak ill of her. If you didn't like my grandma, and I never met anyone like this, but if you didn't like her, there was something wrong with you, because she was the most likable human being I have ever met. What made her happy was making other people happy and taking care of those she loved, and she was the goat of both. She was always smiling, always emanating warmth. She had a fantastic sense of humor, and by that I mean she always laughed at my stupid jokes and made me feel funny. And over the last few years, as she could see the end of the road approaching, Every single time I spoke to my grandma, she told me how grateful she was for her wonderful life, how special to her our time together was, how much I meant to her, and how dearly she held all her memories with our family, with her family, with the family she created. She reminded me of these things every single time we spoke for years. Back in 2019, just after my grandma turned 90 years old, she agreed to take the time to record an episode of this show with me during August, which we know on this podcast as Call Your Grandparents Month. That conversation aired exclusively on our Patreon page, but today I want to share it with everyone. Keep in mind, it was recorded in 2019, so there may be references to things in my life at that point which are no longer relevant. I don't actually know, because I can't bring myself to listen to our conversation again yet without becoming a puddle, but yeah. Also, some forewarning, there will be ad reads for today's sponsors periodically spliced in because we've got bills to pay at Bolin Media and scheduled sponsors that I can't reschedule, so please support our sponsors as they make our show possible. But I wanted to dedicate today's show to my grandma, Beverly Bolin, a woman who touched my life and so many others in such a positive and permanent way. And everything else about her that you need to know, or that I can tell you anyway, you'll learn from this interview. So here she is. Enjoy. Hey, Grandma, it's Ross.
Yes.
How are you doing?
So it's always great to hear from you.
It's always great to hear from you, too. It's funny, I was just telling our producer, Grant, that I've done like 400 podcast episodes, and I still get nervous talking to you.
Why is that?
I think just because I want it to go so well.
I think that's it, too. And I do also. I was thinking the same thing because, you know, I did radio and then the television.
Right.
And I thought, okay, this is a breeze.
Right. No,
and
exactly.
I felt nervous also because I wanted to be good.
I know.
For you.
Here's the thing.
You know,
it will be good. Every time I have ever spoken to you in my entire life has been good. Why would this time be any different?
Exactly. Exactly.
I know.
So let's just be ourselves. That's what I always told guests.
Let's do it.
Just pretend you're sitting in the living room talking.
Okay. Well, then we'll do it that way. I do have questions for you, though, because we're coming up on a very important occasion for you, 90 years of life.
I know. So I should be very wise, right?
I think you are. I think you're the most wise person I'm aware of.
I am still learning. That's what's so exciting.
That's what makes you wise, though. You never stop learning.
Exactly, which surprises me. You know, when you start out, you think you know everything.
Yeah.
And then as you go along, you realize you do not, and thank goodness you keep learning. So,
I guess I've hit probably, so far in my life, probably three or four different points where I thought I knew everything and then realized, oh, wait a minute, I don't know anything at all. You're 90 years deep. If you had to pick one or two sort of, I don't know, Grandma, like keys to impart onto young people to have a successful life, like, what would you say a couple pieces of advice would be?
Well, the thing that I think I tried to do is be nice to everyone. Everyone, whether they're going to promote you or whether they're just going to help you or whether you want to help them, you know.
How do you go about, I think that's the thing that's always been so impressive to me about you, though, Grandma, is that you're so kind and caring with every single person that you come across. And I'll be honest with you, I try to take as much as I can from you because I look up to you so much. But that's one of the areas that I struggle because people can be very frustrating and infuriating, yet you never seem to miss a beat with how nice you are to everybody. How do you do that?
Because, as you know, I grew up in a family of 11 children. You have to learn to get along.
11?
With, you know, with that many children. And my parents were great. They made all of us feel very loved and special. And they made us all feel, because we've talked about it later, that they would always be there for us. And I tried to impart that on my three sons, you know. Please make your children feel loved and that you will always be there for them. That's a very important thing, I think.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had 7 sisters. Imagine growing up with 7 women.
My goodness.
Or girls. And 3 brothers.
How did your parents go about accomplishing? I mean, because today, in 2019, only a completely insane person would try to have that many kids with how expensive childcare and everything is. What was that dynamic like growing up? Because that's so rare now.
I had the best childhood, and my brothers and sisters say the same thing. It was just, I was thinking, I read through something, clearing out papers, about that my sister just below me, who was 2 years younger, my best buddy, and something I had written to her about our walking to the woods and picking buttercups and pussy willows and violets, and the woods wasn't too far from our home.
And this is in Michigan?
And then coming home, and there were lilac bushes, and we could sit in the middle of them. It was just wonderful times like that. So, and despite, and my father and mother, well, as I said, just made us all feel very loved. And I don't know how they did it, but I think if you're fortunate to live in a family that is so caring, then you have a great start in life, you know?
I wonder how differently you would have turned out if you were an only child.
Well, that is interesting, isn't it?
You know?
I don't know. I don't know. And, you know, your grandfather also encouraged me. I was very shy, but I loved journalism, like you apparently did.
I do.
And I loved writing. I was editor of the feature page of the school newspaper, and the sports writer or editor of the sports page asked me to write the girls' sports column.
Oh.
And I just loved it. So I don't, but I was shy. I was very shy and very tall and very skinny, you know?
Right.
I was a late bloomer.
So was I.
Do you think so?
I was, yeah. I didn't bloom until I grew like a foot my sophomore year of high school, I think, is when I really finally grew.
Well, I just always thought you were wonderful. So.
Well, I guess personality-wise.
I always thought you were wonderful. I can just see you now at all different stages. But your grandfather, after I had the 3 little boys, he encouraged me. He would say things like most guys would not say. You're smarter than I am. I was not smarter than he was. He was a chemical engineer from Purdue. But he started traveling for Monsanto for business, and he would be gone 3 weeks at a time. I had these 3 little boys, and for the weekends, he'd go to Morocco or Paris or Switzerland or something. And I decided I needed it to be interesting for this man who was doing all these exciting things.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I started. Heaven only knows. How did I think I could do that? But I, my mentor said, this radio station doesn't have a woman. Just go in there and tell them they need that. And then later it was the other, the television. But
and it,
it was your grandfather that encouraged me.
When I'm working out, there are a few essential things I absolutely must have. My AirPods, my water bottle, and my Fitbod app on my phone. Today's episode is brought to you by Fitbod. Fitbod is a fitness app that creates completely personalized workouts that adapt as you improve. Whether you're a seasoned gym goer or just starting your fitness journey, Fitbod will push you to make progress. It's like having your own personal trainer, but better. It's cheaper, you can work out anywhere with or without equipment, and it's easy to build a custom fitness plan that works for you. I've been using the Fitbod app for coming up on a year now, and it's legitimately awesome. I've crushed my 129th Fitbod workout just yesterday. And before I started using Fitbod, I did the exact same workouts every time I worked out for years, and eventually it was not doing anything for my body. I plateaued hard. Fitbod is the future. It has everything you wish those other apps had. It's been one of my favorite and most positive additions to my life in the last couple years. Fitbod adapts as I progress. And by rating each exercise within my workout, it learns how difficult or easy it was for me and adjusts accordingly. It lets me set a goal of 4 workouts a week, helps hold me and helps me hold myself accountable to my fitness journey. And this past year has been the most consistent I've been with my workouts since I was in high school baseball as a result. Fitbod is an essential part of my life, no exaggeration. Add Fitbod to your workout essentials. Join Fitbod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app free at fitbod.me/Ross. That's fitbod.me/ross. Fitbod.me/Ross today to get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free.
Talk about you and Grandpa's marriage a little bit, if you would. How many years were you married?
We were married 55.
Wow.
But, yeah.
That is a very long time. How did you keep each other happy and so in love all of those years? Some people can't make it like 1 year.
I know. And I think it, that respect for each other, you know.
Yeah.
Respect each other. Plus, I can remember, Ross, in my brain, one time when I was mad, said, okay, stop that craziness. You love him. You want to be with him. Just wrap it up and stop this fighting.
Right.
You know? And that's basically it. We were madly in love, and but we fought just like everybody else. We just did it in the... We went in the bedroom so the boys wouldn't hear. But
right.
That was my, you know, oh my gosh, why are you doing this?
Sure.
Just stop that.
Whenever I try to explain Grandpa to people, I always say he was, it wasn't that he was a man of few words. It was just that if he was speaking, there was purpose and you knew it was for a reason. You paid attention. He wasn't like me. I flap my gums all day long. A million words come out. It's not necessary that you're always paying attention to what I'm saying. If Grandpa was speaking, I knew it was important enough to pay attention, but there was this sort of strength in his love and the way that he was the patriarch of our family. And it was balanced so well by your kindness and your gentle love. And I thought that was such an interesting dynamic that you and Grandpa brought to then your 3 boys, and it trickles down to your whole family. And before you know it, you've got, you know, 30 people wandering the earth that have been influenced by you and your husband of 55 years is your love. I mean, that has to be an incredible feeling of pride.
It was, and I am so happy you saw that in him, because he was a man. Actually, he was a man of few words. I loved him for one of the reasons was that I knew when he told me something, he was not just a smooth-talking man.
Right. You
know? He meant what he said. And he made me feel very, very loved. That's what I remember saying to your dad and his brothers. Make them feel loved, your wife, you know.
Yes.
That's just, and don't be smooth talking, you know, just be, what's the word I want?
Ross? Real.
Just be true to yourself.
And be real. I think that's such an important thing that people forget. I mean, that's what I try to bring to my life is genuine, real shit. I don't want to be fake. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's what people like, you know, is I like sincere people that are, I don't want a smooth-talking person telling me what they think I want to hear, you know.
Right. So this, Grandma, you know, this whole month of August, I've been motivating people, same thing we did last year when you came on the show and talked to us, motivating people to call their grandparents. As a grandmother with how many grandkids do you have now? How many cousins do I have? Like nine?
Okay, I have 8 grandchildren.
Okay, 8 grandkids, and then now great-grandkids now.
Yes. And then, what is it, 3 of you are married.
Yes.
Beth and Carrie and you are married. And Sam has Lindsay that he loves very much. And Andrew has Ashlyn.
Yes.
And Scott has Haley.
How do you do? You're better with names than I am, and you've got like 60 years on me.
Well, sometimes, you know, you'll find out, or you probably already have, that sometimes the names just fly out of your brain.
They do.
You know? And I just feel very, very fortunate to have gotten this far with this much of my family still close enough. See, I do worry about you guys living further away. It was wonderful, Ross. I do miss having all those family gatherings at the house.
Oh, sure. We all do.
Yes. It was, I think that's one of the great things for a family is to have a place for all of us together. And we did every holiday, plus a few others. And I think we had a lot of fun, don't you?
I think that you and Grandpa's house, which sort of served as the capital for our family, where everybody would, you know, we would go for, like you said, for Christmas, for Thanksgiving, for whatever holidays, for Easter, we would do Easter egg hunts. I think that was so important. I know it was important to me personally, and that place will always hold, would be such a special place to me that I feel like it showed me what family was supposed to be and what it could achieve, what family could be if you did it correctly. I mean, honestly, even if you did it incorrectly, it was still family. And it was, I mean, I cannot impress upon you and the people listening enough how much it meant to me every time we knew we'd go to Grandma's house. You know, 15, 20 people there, everybody eats, everybody plays basketball, hangs out, has fun, spends time together, watches sports. That became my model for what I want to achieve in life. I want to be the capital that you and Grandpa got to be for your family, for my own family at some point.
Great. I love hearing that. We loved it. I miss that. I really miss not being able to do that anymore.
But we got to do
and
it so many times.
And I think going to the tennis ranch and Cayman Islands, before that we went skiing. And I just love it that your grandfather was willing, and he was the guy that put the trips together, you know.
That got us all to the Cayman Islands?
Yes, and he figured out all the food and the whole thing. He was just amazing, I think.
So let me ask you, Grandma, in this month where I'm trying to get people to do what we're doing right now and talk to their grandparents more and call their grandmas and their grandpas, why is it important to you to hear, with having 8 grandkids, to hear from us? What does it do for you?
Having 8 grandchildren?
I mean, to hear from us, though, to have us call you and actually
communicate. Oh, my gosh, it's wonderful. Except you also, I love hearing from you, and I'm trying to figure out, since I don't text and stuff
right.
like that, how to communicate or let you guys know that I'm thinking about you, and when things happen, say, great, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love that you're doing this, or how was that trip? And just a few lines, because I realize things evolve, and some of you have moved away, that's going to be the way it is. But I'm very happy, very happy. You know, your dad and his brothers are there for me right all the time. And I hear everybody is exactly perfect, I think. I just think that everyone has made me still feel very loved.
This we did a whole episode kind of talking about the astronauts and how they lived in y'all's neighborhood growing up.
Oh my gosh,
the impact that NASA had on Houston as a city. Do you have any cool astronaut stories for us? Like, because the astronauts, what you always hear, the rumor is that they all partied pretty hard.
But they did, the guys did this, and yes, I knew about a lot of that, but they did their partying in Florida.
Oh.
And we did a lot of partying with the couples here. And we had a great time. And Jim Lovell was one of the neighbors. He lived on the canal there.
Right.
One of the nicest guys you will ever know. Actually, did you meet him at the St. Francis Book Fair that time when he was there, when
you know,
I happened to come in?
I may have. And actually, I believe Mr. Lovell is 91 years old, so he's a couple years older than you even.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Well, he was just one of the nicest guys. He showed up at St. Francis. I think Susan, his daughter,
You're right, because
had
I remember.
A child there.
Do you remember the book he wrote was, I think it was Lost Moon, and I got it signed.
Yes, because I did that for you, I think.
Thank you.
I think I did that for you. Because I asked him, and I was I'm trying to remember how we did that. He was there, and his other daughter, Barbara, babysat your dad and his brothers, too. So, and we went to her wedding.
That's so funny. Jim Lovell.
But Jim Lovell.
Were there any other big-name astronauts right around y'all?
Yes, right across the street, Pete and Jane Conrad lived. They had 4 sons. Now, Pete was the 3rd man on the moon.
Wow.
And his co-pilot, or whatever you call it, Alan Bean, was the 4th. And Pete and Jane lived right across the street. And I can tell. Do you have time for a little story about?
We have literally the entire day if you want it. You tell us all the stories you want.
Chris, he was David's age. He and David went to a private first grade because their birthdays were too late to get in.
Okay.
And so Jane, Pete Conrad's wife and I were very dear friends, and played tennis together, did everything together.
Yeah.
Not everything, but a lot. And I had was my turn to pick up Chris with David. So remember, they lived right across the street from us, and I went over there, and it was one of the times when Pete was doing space. And so what they call the paparazzi now came swarming around our car we drove up. And Chris, who was supposed to come out and get in the car, wouldn't do it because of all the paparazzi there. And that was the time before cell phones.
Right.
So we just sat there and sat there. What made me so mad at myself is they thought I was one of the astronauts' wives or something.
Okay.
So they came, and I put down my window, and Ross, I can't believe I said that. I said, "I'm nobody." And put the window back up again. But I was so mad at myself for saying that.
Well, that
like,
wasn't
I'm
true.
Nobody.
That was a lie.
But great.
You're definitely somebody.
Absolutely. But Chris never did come out.
That's so funny.
Jane had to come out and say, because of no cell phones at that time,
so you,
and say, Chris just won't come out with all the
hubbub.
Photographers yeah. there.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Mood. If you're like me and have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep or relaxing in social situations or staying calm in general, maybe dealing with soreness after workouts, Mood might interest you. So listen up. Mood is an online dispensary with a variety of products tailored to set your mood with product lines like Energized, Creative, and Focused. To help you get in the right mood for whatever your day has in store. And for a limited time, Mood is giving the RBP gang a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just visit hellomood.com and use our code RBP. I'm a big fan of Mood's Sleepy Time Delta 9 THC gummies that help me wind down at the end of the day, get to sleep and stay asleep so I can recharge and get ready for another day of podcasting and getting my ass kicked by my kids. Mood is known for their federally legal THC, and now they're adding their most potent product yet to the lineup, introducing hemp-based THCA flower, the future of legal THC. Try it along with all Mood's other amazing offerings like gummies, vape cartridges, and more. THCA flower is Mood's latest and most potent breakthrough in the world of legal cannabis. Since THCA converts into THC when you heat it, you get access to the classic marijuana high. And Mood has 10 high-inducing strains, the most potent they've ever offered, of course, being the THCA. However you like to take THC, Mood has you covered. Great for both beginner and veteran users, great-tasting gummies, classic flower, convenient pre-rolls, and so much more. Try Mood's new THCA flower today for a limited time only. Get 20% off your first order and a free THCA pre-roll. Just go to hellomood.com and use promo code RBP when you check out. That's hellomood.com. Code RBP for 20% off your order and a free THCA pre-roll.
You raised three boys, my dad and my two uncles. You know, what are they? What's the biggest gap between David and Steve? How old are they, difference-wise?
Well, they're six. Let's see.
Is David, it 7 years apart?
Yeah, let's. What is it? David. Okay, you're asking me a trick question.
Well, they're within a decade of each other. We know that, right?
You say that again?
My dad, Steve, and Uncle Dave, they're within a decade of each other. They're not that far apart in terms of years.
No, they're not. Like, your dad was born in 56,
right.
Mark in 58, and David in 60. So what is that, four?
Yes.
Four
so
years.
My question, sorry for making you do math, not my strong suit, what was the toughest stage of parenthood for you? Or I guess, like, not having kids yet, obviously, I am trying to glean as much knowledge as I can from those around me who have raised kids, who are raising kids. I guess just talk about parenthood a little bit.
Well, the thing is, remember I grew up with 11 or 10 other children.
Right.
And I had three. I thought, now this is just Pollyanna's sort of thing, I thought it was so easy raising these kids because I had only three. And they were wonderful. They really were wonderful. And I know they did a lot of things they shouldn't have done when they went camping across the lake and different things later on. But they were really, really easy. I was just lucky, I think.
Or you're just really good at your job.
Well, I don't know. I just think they were great kids. Maybe the teenage years, I remember with David, two of his friends were camping in somebody's yard in the neighborhood, and David didn't want to go, and I kept saying, honey, it'll be a lot of fun. Just go. Just go. And he wouldn't, and the guys were smoking marijuana, and that's why he didn't want
to. Oh, Dave should have gone. Uncle Dave should know. Marijuana's fun.
Well, I think maybe he did try it at some point. I know all of them tried it at some point, but this was a different era, honey.
Oh, I know.
You know,
Grandma, let me ask you, when you were a teenager, I mean, this is obviously something you and I have never gotten to talk about, and I've always wondered, and I've got to know. And if you have great grandkids now, so your grandkids are old enough to have kids, this is a no judgment zone. Did you ever try drugs when you were a teenager or when you were young?
No, I'm telling you what, back then, I was sort of like what we called a goody two-shoes.
Okay.
Do you know?
Yeah, meaning that
that probably explains itself.
Sure, but you were.
No,
you didn't like to get into trouble.
I was that way. I was great. I mean, I don't know if that was great. that's just the way I was. And your grandfather was, he actually, I think he liked that. Because he was a little wild, so.
Really?
And I didn't mind him being that way, but I wasn't that way, no. No.
Good.
I don't think that's probably the way you should be. I think you should experience a lot of things, but I don't know.
I know what you mean.
It's to the eldest.
You should experience. You should experience life with as clear of a mind as you can, I think. And if you have the ability to do so without any kind of substance, then I certainly think that you should enjoy as much of life as possible with a clear head. Speaking of which, you mentioned, I know you've traveled a decent bit over the course of your life.
You were
born in Michigan. Obviously, you built your family in Texas. Where were some of your favorite places to spend time on this earth or that you got to visit outside of, you know, obviously Houston and Texas City and Taylor Lake?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we traveled all over the world, Grandpa and I, and we had wonderful times. One of our favorite places that we kept going back to was Rome.
Ooh.
We loved the history of it. We loved it. So about five times there, Paris five times, London. Those were favorites. We went to China. We went to Japan. We went to Thailand, Indonesia. Just, we never got to Russia. We tried to do that, but the Bay of Finland was frozen. We couldn't get there because we were on a ship.
Oh, wow.
But we went just about every place that there is to go that we wanted to go. We traveled extensively. So
did you have
I feel very, very fortunate about that.
Sure. Did you have
one
a place
of the things
that was like
I was
going
to say to you that I don't know if I should say.
What?
But after, you know, Tom, there were three Conrad boys that lived across the street, Chris, Andy, Thomas, and Peter. Thomas was your mom and dad's age.
Right.
And I heard, and I'm trying to remember how I heard that, that after your dad and mom married, Thomas said, "Oh my gosh, she is so lucky. She is such a fox." That's what they called it back then.
Yeah.
Do they still say that?
Not actively. People don't use the word like, "Man, what a fox." But we know what that means. That phrase still definitely, it has survived.
Yes. She's still a fox, isn't she?
My mom?
Yes.
I've had to deal with MILF jokes and fox jokes about my mom my entire life. So I think so, yeah, based on the jokes that I still receive.
Yes. Well, I love her very, very much.
Oh, she's
and,
great.
I'm not sure I should have said, well, she'd probably like that.
I bet she thinks it's hilarious. She'll love it.
I've told her that before, too, about
Grandma,
that.
You got to interview, as you mentioned, you did radio and you did television, and you got to mention, I mean, you got to interview a lot of cool celebrities in your time as a media personality. Who was your favorite interview? I may have asked this before. Let's just run through all the celebrities. Let's do some good old-fashioned name-dropping.
John Wayne, because they said, all right, contact John Wayne. He was doing Red Adair, who was a firefighter all
right.
over the world, very famous. Actually, he had a second place on our lake, and he would do his, what did you call those boats?
The speed boat?
Rushing down the lake.
Oh, cigarette boat?
Lake. What?
Was it a cigarette boat?
Yes, he would do that. And John Wayne was playing him in a movie in Baytown, and I think it was called Hellfire. And I could interview him if we came down to Baytown where his set was. He was the nicest guy. He was charming, and I wish I could remember some of the others that were in the movie with him. But what I loved about it, and was so sorry that we couldn't do it because we had to get back to the studio, was he invited us to go to lunch with him there. You know, what do they serve lunch? What do they
in like
call that again?
In the trailer, or was there like a buffet or what?
I don't know. We didn't go, but that's what they have. Is I remember a lot of celebrities, when they take their kids to work,
right?
The kids are always interested in the food there.
Yeah, because it's
but
free
anyway,
for everybody.
He was great. I can tell you a short little story about Desi Arnaz.
Ooh, yeah.
Who was past his prime, and this is the craziest thing. I had no idea. You would think I would, since I was the one that had the talk show, why he was coming to our studio. And David, you know, your Uncle David,
yes,
said to me later, probably trying to sell the television station on playing the reruns or something.
Oh, yeah.
This was past his prime.
Okay, so this is
anyway,
after I Love Lucy.
I was out in the main lobby, and this limousine drove up, and this guy fell out of the limousine. And unfortunately, it was him.
It was Desi Arnaz?
Desi Arnaz. And he came. For some reason, I only see myself out there in the lobby. He came in with a dead rose and handed it to me and said, "Here, pretty lady, here's a rose for you." And then I didn't get, nobody had me interview him or anything. I have no idea what he was doing there, but I had a bad impression, as you can realize.
I can imagine. Falling out of a limousine is typically not how you want to be. That's not the state you want. That's so funny, because that Uncle Dave told you it was likely him negotiating the reruns thing, because Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball, obviously the stars of I Love Lucy, they were pretty much credited with inventing reruns, the syndicated rerun with I Love Lucy.
Did they?
Yeah, they were one of the first big shows to go sell that and make all that money off of the residuals from reruns.
I wonder if that was what he was doing, and why didn't I ask somebody, what is Desi Arnaz doing here?
I know.
You know, I reveal my life sometimes and think, why didn't I do this or why didn't I do that? But so he was, and then there was a guy that was the Boston Strangler. He wrote a book about it, and I think he was psychic, and I was fascinated with psychics.
Was it Gerald Frank?
Pardon?
Was it Gerald Frank? The guy who wrote the book?
That doesn't sound right.
Just a guess.
I thought it was Peter or somebody. I'm not sure. I wonder if I have it in my bookcase there.
Yeah.
Anyway, he shook my hand, and I had a hysterectomy, so I had three boys, so that was all right, and said, "You cannot have any more children," so I was really impressed.
Oh, this alleged psychic said this to you?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of creepy.
I'm trying to think of who. I had a lot of... I had Red Adair, and he was a nice guy, and he's the one with the firefighter, you know, that John Wayne.
Uh-huh. Hellfighters.
And he told me all sorts of wonderful stories, and then when he got on the air, he didn't have anything to say.
Oh, that's weird. I think that happens with some people, though. They don't know how to handle the spotlight as well if it's being, you know what I mean? That you could have the person who's so magnetic and does such a good job at parties, but for whatever reason, some people just don't like being on a microphone or on camera.
I was just a little worried about that today, thinking, why did I get nervous about this?
That's me too, though.
But then it's been a long time since I've done anything like this, so...
I find that every single day that I'm going to go do a show, especially if it's a big show, especially if I'm having my grandma on, that I get nervous. No matter how many times I do it, no matter how many days in a row, that's just part of the way it works. Like, I need almost those nerves to sort of get me in the saddle, and then once I sit down in the studio, typically, they're gone. They melt away, and then I can just do my job.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Shopify. Chappelle and Neil, Key and Peele, Faye and Poehler, Setup and Punchline. So what about the perfect duo when it comes to growing your business? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling merchandise for your podcast or handmade kaleidoscopes, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can focus on successfully growing your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Selling merchandise for our podcasts here at Bolin Media has been a big supplemental revenue source for us, allowing us to provide our biggest fans and supporters with shirts and hats and coffee mugs that they can wear and show off and use in real life to show their support for Bolin Media. And Shopify can be the platform that enables you to connect with your supporters in the same way. I've used the platform extensively. It's amazing. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/RBP, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/RBP now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/RBP.
Now, are you interested in who are the people that you interview besides your grandma and your mother and some of those, your
brother? So I try to get artists, musicians that interest me, that I'm, you know, I don't want to bring in guests just for the sake of having guests. So I typically try to get people that I'm genuinely interested in or that have a very different angle or life view than I do, so that we can have fun conversations. So athletes and musicians and artists. One of the guys I'm trying to get to come in right now runs an art gallery in Austin. His name's Todd, and he's a really interesting dude. He's been all over the world sourcing art to then bring to Austin and sell. And I'm super interested in how that career works, so I want to interview him. So that's sort of how I go about picking and choosing who I want to talk to, is what interests me and what do I think my audience would be interested in hearing as well.
That's right. I think that's a good angle. I did a book club for a while, but that was way before Oprah, but I didn't have the good sense. I talked to people of different little communities around that worked or were in charge of libraries, and we would say, okay, we're going to read this book and then discuss it the next time you come. But we didn't think to get the audience involved.
Right. Which is the big thing. Everybody wants, you got to involve your audience.
Yes. If you ever think of it, read the book. The only one I can remember was Territory Imperative, and I don't even remember the author.
The author
is... It was about animals and how they mark their territories. And honestly, I thought it was so interesting that I still remember the name of it 50 plus years ago.
It was by Robert Ardrey.
Oh, you looked it up already?
Yeah, so I get to sit here with a computer in front of me when I'm doing my show.
Yes.
And I
Your
cheat.
Your dad does that for me all the time.
Yeah, I cheat the entire time. So I'm just Googling, looking stuff up the whole time.
I love that.
You mentioned something, Grandma, earlier that I wanted to touch on before we wrap up. And that's that you were looking for a way to try to stay in touch with the grandkids and with, you know, obviously you,
yes,
and you and your boys talk so often that that's not really an issue. But, and it's interesting,
yes,
because that is the problem that Mark Zuckerberg thought he was solving when he invented Facebook. And that's the problem that Twitter and Snapchat and all these different social medias were going to solve, right? And I think they did in a way. Now, obviously,
for the younger generation, I guess.
Yeah, retroactively, it doesn't work. Like for you and me, it didn't connect us any more than we were connected before. But for when I have grandkids, obviously, I'll have a better understanding of how the social media stuff works, and maybe it'll be a help. The point is this: it was meant to bring the world closer together, to make it a smaller place, and it feels like we've hit a point now where it's actually doing the opposite. It's dividing us even further. And it's making relationships fabricated, and it's getting people to focus on things that don't actually matter at all, and false images, and this whole distorted version of self-image that's a disaster. It's a mess. Anyway, but you've seen so many multiple cultural shifts, right, in your time,
yes,
on Earth, in your time on living. And I'm just curious to you. Was there a point in the history that you've experienced as an American that felt similar to now, where things seem to be so tense. And I guess for it's always easy for the active generation to look at things and say, well, this is all messed up. Does it feel that way to you, or has it always been this way?
No, I feel I am really worried about the chaos in the United States right now.
Yeah.
Because it seems like things are just thrown out there and make it chaotic almost every day.
And
you
people,
know?
Well, people don't want to talk to each other, and they don't want to relate, and they don't want to have a conversation. They're just angry, it seems to me, anyway.
It does, and it seems like no one's willing to be the one that says, okay, this is ridiculous. It's like a marriage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous. Let's just talk and get along and listen to what the other party has to say. Don't think everyone has to think the way you think, you know?
Right. No, I mean, I've that's the thing I struggle with so much, is it seems the fixes are easy, that all we need to do really is from listen to each other. And of course, the nature of some of these issues are more complicated and complex. But I think if we start with the basic general principles that you mentioned, just be nice to people. If you be nice to everyone and try to help everyone. And if you do that, you shouldn't be in politics unless you're willing to do both those things. Then I think we'll all be fine. But nobody is seemingly doing that, and it's frustrating.
And it's very frightening right now. I keep thinking, okay, was I not paying attention before?
Right.
Why is it this way, you know? Has it always been this way? It hasn't always been this way. And that's one of the things. I am a Republican, but not a Republican right now. I think Barack Obama, I said that I'm a Republican, so you would understand.
Sure.
I thought he was a good man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a big leap from having this good man, although you find out there are things that they all did back then, too.
Sure.
Probably wasn't perfect. But as you say, I just wish everyone would try to do the best that's the best for the country, you know?
Yeah. You know, it seemed like we lost that basic human decency that's so important, right? To just everybody try to help each other. That's the whole point. The thing that seems so silly to me is people forget we are all on the same team here. This is our country. We live together. We need to work together for happiness together. And it just doesn't make sense to me that we all look at each other as enemies, and that Republicans and Democrats look across the aisle and they see the enemy. We're all the same. This is stupid. These labels we're allowing to divide us are actually keeping us from working together. And it just bums me out.
Well, it does me too, Ross. And it was, I know this is very old fashioned, and I said that to you before. The old golden rule, do unto others as you want others to do unto you, is a good rule, actually. I know it's old-fashioned.
It's a great rule. It's just a difficult one. Well, I'll say this. I think most people struggle with it more than you do.
Well, and getting back to how you're raised, I do not remember growing up in this large family of 11, one racist comment from anybody in the family, including my parents, you know.
Thank you, by the way, for that. It made it a lot easier for me to understand and identify racism because it didn't exist in my home already. Because same thing for me. I never heard my mom or dad say a single racially inappropriate thing my entire childhood. So the only time I ever heard racist stuff was from other people, and it was super easy to go, oh, well, that was extremely racist, because it stood out so well, or so poorly,
I
should
say. I'm so pleased that we grew up that way, and you grew up that way, because I just can't imagine living in a family like that, you know? Plus other things that you read about and you feel so sorry for children who've had to grow up in some of these families, but some of them really excel in spite of it all.
No, it's absolutely, I mean, in some of those stories you hear about children who grew up in the worst circumstances and then have come out of those circumstances to say, hey, look, you're not paying attention to these neighborhoods, these kids, these communities that need your help. And that's the only way we ever get change, right? Is for then other people
yes.
to pay attention to what that person is saying and take action. And I don't know. It just feels good to be part of a not racist family when you look around and see so many, there are so many more racist people than you realized, even in like the 90s and the early 2000s, it turns out, because now it's become a little bit more normalized for those people to speak on their beliefs. And it's just freaking awful. But not to end on a negative note, Grandma, so many people love you, cherish you. And you're coming up on 1 week away from 90 years old. I hope you look at the years you've had with great pride, Grandma, because you are a fucking treasure. I told you this the other day on the phone, but I demand another decade from you as your first grandchild. I have that right, and I demand it. I love you so much. It meant so much for you to take over 40 minutes of your day to talk to me. Every time we talk, I feel like I come away a little bit better as a man. I hope that the rest of this audience that gets to hear you speak will be able to take away from you as well. I mean, you're just a glowing presence in my life, and you've always done so much for me. And as a child, I can't stress enough how much it meant to me, all the times you took me to Dave & Buster's and Toys R Us, and everything we've ever done together has been one of the best moments of my life.
And to see the black bear.
Yes, to go to the Museum of Natural Science, which I still do every time I go home because it reminds me of you, and to the art museum, and everywhere we ever went was a blast, and NASA, and I love you. I was so lucky, and I am so lucky to have you as my grandma and as the leader, one of the leaders of my family. And I thank you for everything that you've done for me.
And you know, I've told you so many times how much I love you as the eldest grandchild, just as my grandchild. Thank you so much for making me so proud of you. I tell your dad every time I talk to you how wise and mature and how proud I am of you. And I love you, darling.
Well, I'm working on it, Grandma. I try to be a little bit better every day in large part because people like you have set a fantastic example for me. So thank you. Have a great rest of your day, Grandma. I love you so much, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. I love you. Bye-bye, honey.
Bye, Grandma.
So that was my grandma, Beverly Bolin. She is the reason I started Call Your Grandparents Month and celebrate that every August, and I hope hearing our discussion serves as a reminder for you to call your grandparents and brightens your day. If there is one thing I regret, it's that I didn't call her more the last few years. You can never spend enough time connecting with those who mean the most to you. Our bond was special, and I know she moved on from this life knowing how much she meant to me and to our whole family. I love you, Grandma. Now, because today's show is dedicated to my grandma, I have a plethora of material for this week's ad-free premium episode available exclusively for our subscribers and supporters on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. So just to give you a few of those to look forward to on Patreon this week, which will be a much lighter episode. I know today might have been a little bit heavier than you expected, but later this week on Patreon, we'll be discussing Kanye West and Ty Dolla $ign's Vultures 1. I have to talk about it. I promise I will make it entertaining whether you hate or love the music or the artists, but I got to talk about it. Also, washing machines. I've got washing machine takes, plus Tiger Woods' new brand, Sun Day Red, and a $2,500 3D printed basketball. Plus, we'll play some voicemails from 888-WR-BOLIN from our listeners. So tune in later this week on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, and that will do it for today's show. But please, support our sponsors by hitting the links in the description of this episode and using our dedicated codes. That is how we pay the bills here at Bolin Media. You can find links to all of our sponsors for today's show in the description below. We got Shopify.com/RBP, all lowercase, to sign up for a $1 per month trial. Fitbod.me/Ross to get 25% off your subscription or try the app free. And of course, HelloMood.com, code RBP for 20% off your order and a free THC pre-roll. To check out our other shows, go to BolinMedia.com. We've got Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, where right now me and my co-host, Mr. Barrett Dudley, are covering True Detective Night Country episode by episode, with the finale coming up this Sunday. If you're watching True Detective Night Country on HBO, check out Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. Check out our coverage, our companion podcast, as it were, and enjoy that. Formula One season starts in just a couple of weeks, and you know J-Bone, Jared Borislow, will be covering every single race on Formula Bone. Go to youtube.com/@FormulaBone and become one of over 120,000, I think, subscribers to Formula Bone. It's also available on all the podcast platforms that you find RBP, Formula Bone. And of course, if you're a Houston sports fan, check out Banging the Can. A lot of Houston sports news to discuss as of late. And that is where I do it, at Banging the Can on all the social media platforms, Banging the Can on the podcast platforms, and youtube.com/@Banging the Can as well. You can follow me, Ross Bolin, on Twitter and Instagram at WRBolin, WRBOLEN. This episode of the Ross Bolin Podcast is presented by Bolin Media. There is no video of today's show, but normally it would be on youtube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast, as well as funny clips in the form of YouTube shorts, so go subscribe on youtube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast. And we'll see you later this week on Patreon. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for listening and allowing me the ability to further the process of saying goodbye to my grandma with this episode. Until next time, peace be with you and also with you.
Ross, this is your grandmother Bolin. I know you're a busy man, but I just want to say happy birthday. I love you. I'm so proud of you on your birthday. Have fun, and I'm going to try to get back to you another time. Love you, love you, love you. Bye-bye. Ross, this is your grandmother, Bolin, and I just want to say happy birthday on your actual birthday, and I know you know how much I love you. I hope you've checked your mail and got your birthday card. And I just wasn't sure when would be a good time to call, but I'll try another time. I love you so very, very, very much. Take good care. Have fun today. Bye-bye.